Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, maybe a little more, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw. 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. If I sound like I'm disgusted, I'm disgusted! I've just about had it. I really have. And I'm not alone. My inbox was flooded with people saying, what the hell did I watch? What the hell did I watch for 3 hours? What the hell did I watch? And for the few people who have been writing me saying, I think you're being unnecessarily critical. I don't think a lot of this is justified. I wonder what you think today. I wonder what you think when Ronda Rousey and Alicia Fox is the main event, eh? When's the last time Alicia Fox main evented a Monday Night Raw or main evented any card anywhere ever, including a house show? Well, here's a newsflash. Alicia Fox did not main event Raw. Ronda Rousey main evented Raw. She could have been wrestling a broomstick, and she would have main evented Raw. But that's just one of the reasons I'm disgusted. Oh, remember, Ronda Rousey's going to be treated like everybody else. She's going to earn her position. She's going to be one of the gals. Is that one of the gals? I don't care if all the girls backstage are okay with her. What's their can you please tell me what their option is other than to be okay with her? Can one of you brainiacs out there who write me and say, you're being overly critical, I don't know why I watch it if you don't like it. Well, can you please tell me what in the world their option is? When they can go to Saudi Arabia and leave the women behind and they don't have an option, how the hell do they have an option when it comes to Ronda Rousey? What are they supposed to say? No, we're not going to stand for it? Come on. Other than that, this is the Roman Reigns show. And I know a lot of people wrote to me and said, did you see the wonderful, I hope you're going to play up the wonderful segment that Paul Heyman did. He was so realistic and it came off so well. Bull. And I'll tell you why when we get to it. I'm not saying Paul Heyman didn't do a good job. I'm saying it was bull. But let's start from the very beginning of this mess, and then we can unravel it a little bit, and I can tell you why Raw is on its last breath. We start out, and naturally we have Kurt Angle in the ring and Constable Corbin, and we're having this whole nonsensical Ronda Rousey's going to make her debut, and Brock Lesnar's not here nonsense, and it leads, of course, to Roman Reigns coming out and saying something to the effect of, how do you throw the big dog out of the yard? Who's going to defend the yard? I don't even know what I feel like I'm watching anymore. This, for no reason at all, leads to Constable Corbin versus Roman Reigns. Now, logically speaking, let's just talk logic for a minute. I know we're talking WWE, so those two words do not usually tie into each other. But let's just logically think about this. I want every one of you within the sound of my voice to do me a favor. You are the booker, but it's written in rock that Baron Corbin and Finn Balor will and must fight at SummerSlam. Are you going to throw him to Roman Reigns? before SummerSlam, so even if Finn Balor gets a victory, it means really nothing. Or are you going to continue that feud in some positive way that makes you say, I really do want to see Finn Balor beat Constable Corbin? Not, well, I already seen Constable Corbin get beat. And oh, Finn Balor came down, and let's just talk about that for a minute. It's not that the match wasn't okay. They gave him plenty of time. It's the booking that's not okay. Number one, they never should have been in the ring together to begin with. And if they were, Corbin should have taken some kind of a cheap shot that led to Finn Balor coming down, even if it meant getting Roman Reigns disqualified, because the way this happened, let's just run through it. Corbin is going 50-50 with a man who's about to face Brock Lesnar and probably beat him. Corbin's going 50-50, if not dominating Roman Reigns. Then Reigns makes his comeback. Corbin slides out of the ring and says, yeah, I've had enough of this. I'm just leaving, which I was okay with, really. I was okay with that. And then blocking this 6'9", 285-pound man's path out is 5'7", 150-pound Finn Balor. And Baron Corbin becomes so terrified at the potential of storming past Finn Balor that he now doesn't know what, I may have to go back and fight Roman Reigns. The mighty Finn Balor is standing in my path. How dare, I can't cross that. It's like he was Braun Strowman. And then Balor comes and throws him in. And of course they have to do the little thank you fist bumps and everything, because we're the good guys. Remember, we're the good guys. Remember, Roman's a good guy. Cheer him, please. I'm so frustrated with it, I don't know what to do, because this is the worst booking you could possibly imagine. It makes Finn Balor's match against Baron Corbin irrelevant. It does not add to it. People say, oh, well, Finn Balor screwed him out of a match. How did he screw him out of a match? He wasn't winning the match, and he was going to abandon the match and lose it anyway by countout. So how the hell did Finn Balor cost him anything? And why do I want to see Finn Balor beat Baron Corbin when I've just seen Baron Corbin defeated? Do you think they'd throw Brock Lesnar in with Elias? And, oh, Elias pinned Brock Lesnar. Gee, I wonder if Roman will pin him in that title match they're having. Do you think they'd do that to Brock Lesnar? No. But it's okay to do it to Baron Corbin because, after all, we don't need any heels on Raw. What do we need heels for? Mike, I'm very, very frustrated with this show, and it's going to be more evident as we get on with it. But this particular segment, I knew we were in for trouble because right away they're blowing the booking on these matches. And again, it's not the match itself. It's the booking for the match and how they're trying to get from point A to point B in the most convoluted way possible.
Right, and you're absolutely right in saying that basically what should have happened is if you're going to have him roll out of the ring, he should have just ran right through Finn Balor, right through him. You know, if you want to play off, okay, his Finn Balor's aura is giving him some problems. Okay, fine. Go around the ring and jump the barricade and go up the steps, you know.
Or how about this? How about he just attacks Finn Balor and says, I'd rather fight Finn Balor than Roman Reigns, I guess. But Balor gets the better of him because, after all, he's been in a 18-minute match with Roman Reigns, and they battle all the way back to the dressing room, and you say, well, okay, now that could be a good match come SummerSlam. Nope. Let's toss him back in the ring so Roman Reigns can pin him.
You're right. I mean, and like you said, logic and Raw doesn't go together.
No, this is. I'm telling you, the beginning was awful. I don't blame Baron Corbin. I don't blame Roman Reigns. They're doing what they're told. I don't blame Finn Balor. I blame the ridiculous booking. If you want me to care about Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin, then you have Finn Balor try to stop Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin say, look, I'll go through Finn Balor before I'll go back to Roman Reigns. Tries to go through Finn Balor, but they fight all the way back to the dressing room. And then the next thing you know, Baron Corbin's on the phone with Stephanie saying, I demand a match with that little bastard. He's interfering in my business and this, that, and the other thing. And then it makes some sense. This makes no sense. You gave away the bad guy getting what he deserves before the main guy that you're having the feud with gets to give it to him. That would be like, I'm not saying it's such a big match. It's not a big match. But let me give you an extreme example. On the way to WrestleMania 3, if Andre the Giant was pinned by Hacksaw Jim Duggan before Hulk Hogan could pin him, is Hulk Hogan's victory important anymore? Not as. Well, Finn Balor's victory is not as important anymore. We've seen Baron Corbin lose to Roman Reigns a couple weeks before SummerSlam. And by the way, now you've got yourself in a confusing mess of if Baron Corbin is good enough to come within an eighth of a second of pinning Roman Reigns, who is about to probably be your champion, how's he supposed to lose to Finn Balor? Everything's out of order. One week, this guy's a top guy. The next week, he can't beat nobody. One week, this guy's a jabron. Next week, he's the champion. You're all out of order. You have no pecking order anymore at all to go by. Todd, it was an okay match, but it's just terrible booking.
You're absolutely right there. It's this terrible booking. It's like Monday Night Raw is like going to be like you said, it's going to be – it's getting to the point it's going to be unwatchable anymore.
To the point, it's virtually unwatchable. It's virtually unwatchable. So then Seth Rollins says, and, you know, this is a good point. Seth Rollins comes to Kurt Angle and says, look, I'm tired of this numbers game. Got to do something with Drew McIntyre and Ziggler because it's always two against one. It's just, it always is. And Kurt Angle says, fine, find yourself a tag team partner. And you got a tag team match tonight. Now, here's why you don't do that. A, because every fan that heard that said Dean Ambrose is showing up. Every fan who heard that said, oh man, tonight we're seeing the return of Dean Ambrose. It's going to be a surprise, but we're going to see it. So now you've given the fans something you have no intention of giving to them. And they're anticipating it, but they're not going to get it. So now it doesn't matter who it is. So first you tease, of course, it's going to be Tyler Breeze who comes out and does the funny thing with it being, you know, CrossFit Breezes, which was funny. And then here comes Roman Reigns who just says, no, I got your back. And you're like, oh my God, he's going to fight again. So we're going to see two Roman Reigns matches. Then we're going to see Roman Reigns sit down with Corey Graves. Then we're going to see Roman Reigns later on backstage segment. This is the Roman Reigns show tonight. Literally. But then the hits just keep on coming, folks. Bobby Roode, who you've done absolutely nothing with recently, got into a backstage altercation with Mojo Rawley, who you've been pushing for 4 weeks. You basically destroyed No Way Jose's career by having Mojo Rawley dominate him. You let him dominate Tyler Breeze and destroy Tyler Breeze. So my thought process is you're building Mojo up through the ranks to fight bigger and better. And his next big step up is going to be Bobby Roode. And as bad as it may sound, he's got to get by Bobby Roode if he's on his way to bigger and better. Because you're not doing anything with Bobby Roode. He's not setting the world on fire over here. So unfortunately, Roode now at this stage has got to build up guys who you're looking to bring forward up the ladder. Nope, not at all. Short match, Roode wins, end of conversation, and so much for the Mojo Rawley push. So why in the world was I forced to sit through 2 weeks of him destroying Tyler Breeze, 3 weeks of him and No Way Jose having this bitter feud, to lead to exactly What? This? Because if that's what you were going to do, and you were going to give me this ending, and that's as far as Mojo's going, then this should have been on a SummerSlam match. You should have saved this and said, we're building this up for SummerSlam for a couple of more weeks. And then I would have said, well, okay, well, that's as far as they want to take Mojo. But when you did it on TV, where does that leave? I'll tell you where it leaves. They're going to fight again. And Mojo will probably win, and here we go with 50-50 booking where it doesn't help anyone at all. Mojo Rawley needed that victory. Bobby Roode does not, because where are you taking Bobby Roode from here? Where does Bobby Roode go now? If anything, if Mojo Rawley got the victory by cheating, I could make a very strong argument that that would fuel Bobby Roode saying, I'm getting tired of this nonsense. And then we could all say, well, Bobby Roode's turning heel. Bobby Roode's tired of getting screwed, and he's going to turn heel. So it would have helped Bobby Roode, who needs to be a heel, or he's not going to get over. And it would have greatly helped Mojo Rawley, who now would have been credible that I've beaten Bobby Roode. Nope, can't do that, Mike, because that makes too much sense. Instead, let's just throw away 6 weeks of TV and have Mojo Rawley lose on Raw for no reason.
Yeah, which should, you know, this shouldn't have been a match. It should have been a backstage segment that degenerated, and then you have each guy going a tear until SummerSlam, boom. That match happens and Mojo Rawley wins. Whoever wins or loses, let's just say Mojo Rawley wins. You know you're doing nothing with Bobby Roode. Mojo Rawley goes up the ladder a little bit more after SummerSlam. That's what should have happened. That would be the booking. That would be my optimal booking, you know?
Of course. And then if you wanted him to have the match this week, maybe we could have just had it been a brawl, double count out, whatever. So you say, okay, they're going to have to settle this at SummerSlam. Nope. Just Mojo loses. I know we've been pushing him for 6 weeks, folks, but forget everything you saw. So why are you investing me in a character you have no intention of doing anything with? It's asinine. It makes no sense. So far, Raw has made zero sense, and it's about to get worse. We then have Razor from the Authors of Pain versus Titus O'Neil, and the second that happens, I say to myself, we have one of two options, obviously. Option one, Titus gets by Razor, and that means each individual member of Titus Worldwide has pinned individually the members of the Authors of Pain, which the storyline would then read, as a team, the Authors of Pain are great, as solo guys, they're not. Or we can go with, well, one guy won from one team, one guy won from the other team, and now they're going to have a tag team match, and who knows who's going to win. They went with the latter. It's fine, except for this. There is no heat for this match. Zero. No one cares. The Authors of Pain cannot get out of their own way on the microphone. They have not been presented as world beaters, just barely being able to hold their own against Titus Worldwide, who has been booked as lower mid-card tag team jabrones. But the Authors of Pain can't seem to beat them. So how are we supposed to say the Authors of Pain are dominant? Again, let me take another example. If Braun Strowman comes in and says, I'm the monster among men, and he has a horrible, horrible time with Sin Cara, where you say, my God, Sin Cara almost beat him 90% of the match. Sin Cara was whipping his ass. You're going to be like, well, he's not that big of a monster because Sin Cara almost beat him. Well, that's what happened here. How big of monsters are the Authors of Pain if they can, if they're having a horrible time with Titus Worldwide? Again, it's nonsensical booking because it doesn't do anything for either team. It's not going to elevate Titus Worldwide because in the end, they're going to lose. And it certainly isn't elevating the authors of pain, who are now looking like we're having a hard time with middle of the pack, lower mid-card tag teams in the WWE. Makes no sense. I just don't understand it, Mike. It seems like they don't want to do anything with any of these people.
They don't. And that, I mean, and there are problems with Titus Worldwide. And it's not, again, it's not Titus Worldwide. It's not Titus and crew Apollo and Dana's fault. You know, they're only doing what they're told, you know. I mean, it's not Razor and it's not the Authors of Pain.
No, it's not.
They're only doing what they're told, you know. I mean, to me, the Authors of Pain are screaming for a manager.
Let's put it this way. Let's just use the panel as an example. Let's say that Todd is wrestling for me, and I use Todd as a comedy wrestler who, you know, he's mostly a prelim wrestler. He doesn't win much, but the crowd likes him and he's funny. And Mike is a serious badass guy who the crowd loves, and he comes in and just kicks bad guys' asses. And Derek in the chat room is a major heel. And when he comes in, the first thing he says is, "I'm going to tear Mike's head off and shit in a hole." And he goes through a couple of local talent. And then I put him up against Todd, and Todd pins him. And then I say, "Well, now the big match is coming, Mike against Derek." Well, who cares? Who cares? He was already pinned by Todd. So how can he possibly get by Mike? And then if he does get by Mike, how? Then I'm confused. And I'm like, well, I don't know then. Is Mike a badass, or he can't even beat a guy that a comedy wrestler beat? Is this guy really tough? Because he got beaten by a comedy wrestler. I don't know where the hell I stand. That's what the WWE is doing. We don't even know who the tough guys are. We don't even know who the guys that are tough to beat are. We don't know. Because it changes week to week to week to week. So we get Kevin Owens to come out, and you want to talk about just crap on somebody. Unless you're 8 years old, when the Kevin Owens show has its own platform built right next to the bleachers, raise your hand how many people didn't know that Braun Strowman was going to destroy that. Because why would you build a special stand in the middle of the goddamn bleachers when he could have just gotten the ring? Why would you do that? Never been done before. All of a sudden, no, Kevin Owens has this special platform set up right over a hole, which is clearly visible when Braun Strowman comes up from it. And then you wonder why people aren't popping for it anymore. It's like watching a Bugs Bunny cartoon. That's just awful. Braun Strowman is now involved in what is very much a comedy angle. That's all this is, really. This is a comedy angle. You got Kevin Owens saying, "Oh, Jinder Mahal, the man of peace, has calmed me with his mantras and this, that, and the other thing," and yet he won't let Jinder Mahal talk. That's the funny part of it. Every time Jinder Mahal says, "Well, I think," and he just interrupts him. Then when the platform begins to shake, none of these rocket scientists say, "We better jump off." Nope, they wait until it's totally tipped over. And then to add insult to injury, he suggests before they are tipped over on the platform that Jinder Mahal fight Braun Strowman one more time and even calls Braun Strowman out. I don't know when Kevin Owens became the matchmaker. And then Braun Strowman, after he tips over the platform, heads to the ring. It's really a match. Kevin Owens is now booking the matches. And it's not even a match. And for all you people who wrote me last week and said, "Well, Marcus, Kevin Owens was attempting to steal the briefcase because he knew Brock Lesnar was in the building. And if Braun Strowman cashed in that briefcase, then Kevin Owens couldn't win it at SummerSlam. So there was some logic to why he would steal the briefcase. Again, I tell you, no. He could just say, hey, my briefcase is with Braun Strowman. Get it back because I intend on, Braun Strowman could say, my briefcase is with Kevin Owens. Get it back. I intend to cash it in. But then why do you want to steal it this week, huh? Was Brock Lesnar there this week? So the only reason apparently he's trying to steal it is to aggravate Braun Strowman because, of course, Kevin Owens is so stupid that he wants to aggravate Braun Strowman even further, knowing he supposedly almost killed him by throwing him off a cage and throwing him off a ladder, but he wants to further aggravate him. That whole segment made absolutely zero sense, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. When he mentioned Braun Strowman, and at first behind the little stage area, you noticed there was a briefcase there, and they ruined that.
The whole thing is just ridiculous. I cannot believe that the WWE has fallen this far, this fast. And to say, well, Jinder Mahal got another win. Oh, please. Jinder Mahal is being relegated to doing comedy now. Excuse me. Jinder Mahal is now a comedy act. So let's get to the Paul Heyman thing. Because this is the thing that everyone says, yeah, but that was wonderful. Let me make it perfectly clear. Paul Heyman's a good actor. Paul Heyman added realism to that. At one point saying, you know, we shouldn't even be doing this. I don't even know if this is a great idea. Brock's going to be upset about it. Trying to lend an air of realism to it. Here's why it was unsuccessful, in my opinion. It was way too over the top. High school girls who broke up with their boyfriend before the prom didn't cry as much as Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman is a very wealthy man. Paul Heyman has managed other people before. And Paul Heyman's relationship with Brock Lesnar, while it could have been friends, was also business. And he knows he's going to the UFC. So Paul Heyman, if he wanted to make it look realistic, could have said, you know, I know a lot of people are going to say the only reason I'm upset over this, if this is the end of our business relationship, is because of the money. And I'm not going to lie, that as a part of that, it's true. But what hurt me more than anything else was when Brock Lesnar could literally look in my eyes and say, we're not friends, because I never once thought that was the truth. Never one time did I think that was the truth. I always considered him my friend. My friend who I had a great business relationship with, yes, but my friend. But if that's the way he feels, then that's the way he feels. But to cry over it, like a little girl who lost her puppy or a high school girl who no longer has a date for the prom, makes Paul Heyman look stupid. And then to say something as dumb as, you can't replace Brock Lesnar, they're not interchangeable. That's what a little girl says when you say, we'll get you a new puppy when yours, gets hit by a car. Or when a mother says, you'll find another boyfriend when the girl loses her boyfriend. He's not going to be like him. What are you talking about, Paul? You had CM Punk. You didn't cry when he left. You had the Big Show. You had a number of people. It just made no sense. I'm sorry. To say it was well executed is fine, but it has to be logical, and it was not logical. If he underplayed it a little bit and looked sad and simply said, that hurt me. There's not a lot in my professional career that hurt my feelings. Fans have chanted horrible things at me, from walrus to other things. Wrestlers have tried to put their hands on me. I've been choked out and beaten and every possible thing. I never really was hurt, but I'm going to be honest with you. That hurt me. Because I still consider him my friend. And I don't even know why he did what he did. And he won't answer my phone calls, and I don't know. then I would have said, wow, that's very realistic. I think he took it way too far, Mike.
Yeah, he really did take it way too far. You don't, I mean, yeah, I guess he's a good actor. He's good enough to cry or whatever, but you don't buy that from him. You know, there's certain people you would buy that from. You would buy, because he does it so well, you would buy that from Charlotte. You would buy, because of the gimmick, you would buy that from Bailey. You know? But Paul Heyman? No, you don't.
That's
buy
the thing.
Yeah, you don't buy crying from Paul Heyman. You know?
No. It's out of his character. It really is. I could buy him being very sad. I could buy that little bit of almost welling up when he says, we've had a great relationship, and I really thought he was my friend. I really did. Now, I'm going to tell you why this had to be over the top. This entire show was get Roman Reigns over at any cost show. So when Paul Heyman is crying, you're supposed to say, Paul, oh, poor Paul, that son of a bitch, Brock Lesnar. And then when Paul Heyman says, I've never seen Brock Lesnar like this in my life. No one can beat him in the mood that he's in. That's selling Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns is going to beat him. And then you can say he not only beat Brock Lesnar, he beat Brock Lesnar at his most violent and chaotic. All of this nonsense is to sell Roman Reigns because the fans didn't want to buy Roman Reigns, and the WWE insisted on selling him to you. It is the equivalent of hiring a little old lady to walk into a car lot and say, yes, young man, this used to be my car, and I only drove it to church on Sunday, and I gave it a half-hour rest every mile and a half just to sell a car. It's overkill. And if you believe that little old lady would come to a used car dealership and give that testimony, then you deserve the lemon that you're going to buy. And that's the problem with the WWE, is they think the fans are going to buy this and say, oh, poor Paul Heyman. What the fans would have really bought is a much more stoic Paul Heyman, who says, regardless of what Brock Lesnar did, I stand by him. And you know why I do? Because he's my friend. I don't know if I'm his friend. Apparently I'm not. And that hurt. But I don't have to be friends with everyone that I manage. I don't have to be friends. And I haven't been in the past. This I thought was different. It wasn't. So I'm hurt personally. But Roman Reigns is going to be hurt physically, because if Brock Lesnar can do that to me, I don't want to know what he's going to do to Roman Reigns. Then that sells Roman Reigns, and it also lets Paul Heyman have his sympathy without going over the top and crying and blubbering like a little girl who lost her puppy, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. What you said. I know at times, Bobby Heenan. I notice at times with Paul Heyman, he reminds me of a Bobby Heenan, being like calling names like an animal, like a weasel, like a walrus. Like that, and that part with the crying, I don't buy that. But the other stuff, I do.
The thing is, look, I don't know if I'd compare him to Bobby Heenan, and I'll tell you why. Because Bobby Heenan's character was purposefully a satire. Purposely was funny. Paul Heyman hasn't been that way. Paul Heyman's supposed to be dead serious, and to just blubber over losing Brock Lesnar, I think, was just too much. I'm sorry. I think it was too much. So then we're told, Stephanie McMahon has been called, and she doesn't want to put the main event of SummerSlam in jeopardy. Therefore, Roman Reigns cannot be Seth Rollins' tag team partner. So Seth, unfortunately, it's just you. In a handicap match, because I guess Tyler Breeze left the building. Or he'd prefer to go out one against two rather than to have Tyler Breeze. That speaks very highly of Tyler Breeze. Very highly. But anyway, he goes out. Now, at least they booked this right. Despite the fact that he maybe got in a little too much offense, he did lose. He lost clean, and we're left with the feeling that it doesn't really matter who you are. You're not beating Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler by yourself. So if there was anything that was remotely okay, I guess it was this part of it, Mike.
Right, and this part of it plus what they said after the match, Ziggler and
McIntyre.
They booked it exactly correctly. If they weren't going to use Tyler Breeze or Roman Reigns or even, you know, or have what's his name come back, Ambrose come back, it was booked exactly correctly.
But Mike, can I ask you this? Wouldn't this have been better? How about if Tyler Breeze approaches at the last second and says, if you want, it's still on. And Seth Rollins, looking kind of sheepish, says, I wouldn't expect you to go out there after I kind of snubbed you, And Tyler Breeze saying, no, it's cool. I'll go. And then Tyler Breeze, since he's leaving anyway, gets massacred. And Seth Rollins says, you guys did that on purpose. And I feel responsible because I told Tyler it was okay to come out there and he got massacred. And you guys did that on purpose because you're low lives and you're going to pay for that at SummerSlam. How is that not better?
That isn't better. That is better, you know. And I mean, you could probably have gotten if he's going to be fighting, not McIntyre, but if he's going to be fighting Ziggler, they're about the same size. Maybe Ziggler's a tad bit bigger, you know. You could have him get a few licks of offense
The way I would have booked it, Mike, is very simple. Seth Rollins starts the match thinking, I can't let Tyler start this match. But he has to tag him eventually. Tyler gets the hot tag, and for a minute or so, he's fine. But Seth is exhausted and hurt. And then they do something that really severely is supposed to have hurt Tyler Breeze. And the last thing we're left with is them walking up the aisle, Seth Rollins, kneeling over Tyler Breeze saying, hey, he's fucked up. And then backstage, he could say, he could have said to Roman Reigns, I knew I shouldn't have let him go out. That's my fault. He's hurt, and that's my fault. And then, of course, Roman could say, no, it's not. That's Ziggler's fault, and that's Galloway's fault. What they're setting up for is Dean Ambrose coming back at SummerSlam. That's what they're setting up for. But that's the perfect way to set it up, and you're letting Tyler Breeze go to 205 Live anyway, so give him a couple of weeks off, say he was injured, and then he ends up in 205 Live. Or not 205 Live, I'm sorry, NXT. That's all. My God, you can't even think of that. That's as easy as pie to think of. And it makes Seth Rollins look like a nice guy. So let's get to the Elias thing quickly. Elias comes out. He's hilarious as usual. I love the fact that he said Bobby Lashley couldn't even remember the words to Rockin' Robin, because that is true. But then when Bobby Lashley comes out, the whole thing is bull again, because it's like, well, you're a joke. No, you're a joke. No, you're a joke. No, you're a joke. You're an idiot. No, you're a poopy head. And it's just dumb. And then, of course, Elias sneak attacks Bobby Lashley, but Bobby Lashley is too tough to be sneak attacked. He has to mount his comeback then and there. There is no, I got one over on Bobby Lashley. It's always got to be, oh, yeah, I sneak attacked him, hit him with a chair, ran him over with a train, maced him, shot him with an electric dart gun, and then he popped up and beat my ass. Okay, I don't know. Whatever. He's not over. Nobody cares. If Elias does not win this feud, I don't even think I'm going to watch Raw anymore, because I just don't know. I don't want to see Bobby Lashley bug his eyes out of his head, talk nonsense into a microphone, and be the big cheese. Simple as that. It's just awful. We then got the B team and the Revival in a half sort of a match. It was pretty good, actually. It was going on pretty good, and then guess what happens? the leaders of worlds interfere, and you think to yourself, well, okay, I mean, at the very least, we're going to get a three-way dance for the tag team belts at SummerSlam. And then, Mike, they say, oh, no, you're not. You're going to get it next week.
I mean, that's what should have happened. And we know it's probably not going to happen, because we know it's what's probably going to happen is that one of the either B-Team retains or Revival gets the titles, because they're not going to put them back around, especially with his injuries. They're not going to put them back around the leaders of worlds, you know?
Right. Exactly. So it's irrelevant. It's an irrelevant match. They had new music, though, Todd. The B-Team did. I don't know. I'm not overly interested in this feud.
I'm not either, like you said. Like you said, I'm not really interested in this feud. I want to, but I'm not. And
it's impossible to buy into this. That's the problem. So we get Sasha Banks and Bayley, who I actually am beginning to like as a tag team. I'm starting to forget that for 6 months of our life, you wasted our time on the feud that never happened. Just like you wasted our time with Mojo's going to get a push. But okay, they're a tag team. And you know what? They're a good tag team. They look good together. They seem to function well together. Here comes the Riot Squad in, and they're actually joking about them. The announcers are actually joking. Well, you know, Sarah Logan describes herself in many ways. She's a farm girl. She's a Viking. And then they're laughing, saying, well, it's good to have choices. Why are you making fun of it? She didn't come up with a goddamn angle. You guys did. So either address her the right way and say, you know, she found out she was a Viking and it's kind of changed her whole persona a little bit. She seems more, aggressive and whatever than normal. And, you know, let's make fun of it. Yeah, she's a Viking. Look, she got a little eye makeup on now. Remember when she was a farm girl? That was funny, right? Oh, my God, you guys. Oh, my God. And then this is the return of Ruby Riott. A girl comes out in a black mask, and oh, it's Ruby Riott. Well, I was pretty sure it wasn't Andre the Giant. Could you milk that a little bit more? Is there a better way to reintroduce Ruby Riott that people would say, whoa, that was impactful, instead of just showing up in black garb and then taking it off, and Sasha Banks is so stunned. Who could this mysterious third woman be with the Riott Squad? I'm so fascinated by it, I'm distracted from the match. While six-year-olds are saying, look, here's Ruby Riott out there in a mask. I don't know. If that's the best you got, if that's the best your writers can come up with, if that's the big return of Ruby Riott, congratulations, it sucked. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, even the whole La Luchadora thing with Becky Lynch was better than this, you know?
Yeah, it was. It's pathetic. They can't come up with anything. It's like the writers have writer's block. But the worst is yet to come. I hate to say I told you so. But I told everyone, Ronda Rousey's being protected because she ain't very good in the ring. I don't care if she's a UFC badass. She ain't very good in the ring. So we see Alicia Fox, who comes out to Alexa Bliss's music for some bizarre reason. I don't know why. With Alexa Bliss. So that goes to show you how much they think of Alicia Fox. Here comes Alicia Fox, who actually is wrestling. And she's going to walk out with Alexa Bliss, but she's going to walk out to Alexa Bliss's music because she don't even rate her own theme music when she's actually going to be the competitor. And Alexa Bliss talks up a good game for her. And then out comes Ronda Rousey with the one of two expressions she has. Gee, I'm unworthy of the fans' accolades, and I'm pissed off. That's her two expressions. She has no third. Storms out to the ring. And watch Alicia Fox and Alexa Bliss stall and stall for time because Ronda has nothing. I'm going to lock up with you. No, I'm going to slide out now. We got to give this main event about 8 minutes, and you're good for two. Alexa Bliss, jump up on the ring apron so Ronda can come over and try to knock her off it. But oh, she didn't quite make it. And this went on for 4 minutes where they're not even engaging in any fighting. Just stall tactics. Then Ronda finally goes to fisticuffs, and that's what she does. She just throws punches and pulls them. You could do that. You could get in the ring right now with no training, zero, and throw some punches and pull them. If you're at least remotely competent, you can throw pulled punches. So that's what she does. She throws some pulled punches in the corner. And then she gives her these judo flips, which, okay, they look good. But she's done it before, and all that really involves is you moving your arm. Let me tell you a story, and Todd can verify this. There are many times after shows, wrestling shows that I did, I would let children, 6 years old, flip me. I would show them where to put their arm, and then I would flip, and they'd get a big kick out of it, and their parents would take a picture and say, wasn't that nice that he let my kid flip him? That's how easy. I can teach an 8-year-old in 5 seconds how to flip me. And that's what Ronda's got. I'll pull my punches and I can flip you as long as you just... There are people who could flip themselves. I can flip myself. I can have an imaginary guy beel slam me. And so can anybody who's ever been in a ring. Unless they're maybe Andre the Giant or something. So don't sit there and tell me, oh, that, wow, geez. Okay, it's a real move, but is she not doing it for real? She's not doing anything. And then, of course, the arm lock. Oh, she does do one half-assed suplex that looked all kinds of effed up. That's it. That's what she's got. A year of training, supposedly, down at the Performance Center, however long, was given every opportunity in the world. I'm going to start from the bottom and work my way up. I want to be treated just like every other girl. I don't want to be given anything because of my name. What in the goddamn blue hell do you think that was last night at Raw's main event? Do you think a girl with that kind of experience, that kind of wrestling ability that you saw last night, anywhere on this planet would get a main event on a major television show if her name was not Ronda Rousey? Alicia Fox is 5,000 times better in the ring than Ronda Rousey, and Alicia Fox won't see a main event. But it's Ronda Rousey. And it's her first match on Raw since she signed with us 6 or 7 months ago. And she can do an arm lock. And she can judo flip you and she can throw punches. Well, that's terrific. Todd, you remember, I'm sure, the many times I let very small children flip me to show them, you know, that it's not, you know, we're not really killing each other.
I remember that. We did that after shows, especially you did with little kids, let them do like beel slams with you to show them how to do it the right way.
And how long did it take them to learn how to do it the right way? 15 seconds. Yeah, there you go. 5 seconds. So congratulations, Ronda. You can do a judo flip that I can show a kid how to do in 5 seconds. And you can throw punches and you can pull them. And you can do an armbar that you came from UFC with, except you just don't put any pressure on it. So what is it that you learned wrestling-wise? That's what I want to know from the geniuses who taught you. Did you learn ring placement? Nope. Did you learn any kind of ring psychology as far as the ebb and flow of a match? No. Did you learn how to sell? No, because all you did was cover up in the corner and she wasn't even hitting you. She's not a professional wrestler, gang. She's probably a very nice woman, from all I hear. And she's a legit badass MMA fighter. She's not a pro wrestler. She's pretending to be a pro wrestler, and she's playing. She's playing dress up. I'll dress up as Roddy Piper and be a pro wrestler. It's not fair. It's not fair to everybody else who busted their ass and were told, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you don't make the cut, you're not good enough, but she is because of her name. Then, for God's sake, you may as well just go out there and get Jay-Z or somebody and say, you're a wrestler now. You're famous. People will come to see you. Go find a hockey player who gets into a lot of fights and say, hey, man, come on, you're now a pro wrestler. You don't need to learn nothing. This is insane. This is absolutely insane. And Alexa Bliss came pretty close to saying the truth when she said, everybody in that dressing room admires what you've done, Alicia, because without you, you're one of the pioneers of this. You were here for a long time. Probably isn't going to be no Evolution pay-per-view, except Ronda Rousey. I mean, there's no need for her to appreciate what you've done because it doesn't matter. She'd have been the main event of anything anyway. It doesn't matter whether there was any women on the card. Absolutely correct. What we saw last night is the justification that many people have been mad at me about for saying that Ronda Rousey does not belong in a professional wrestling ring. Not right now, anyway. Maybe in a year she will, but I guarantee you from a year she's not even going to be here. Ronda Rousey is playing pro wrestler, and she's making pro wrestlers look bad in doing it. Now, Todd, when I used to let those kids flip me, you will note one thing very important. It was long after the matches were over, before the ring was being torn down, and when there was just a few people there, because I didn't want to disrespect any of the wrestlers in front of a major part of the crowd who might say, oh, look how fake that is. He can let a little kid flip him. So I just waited till the two or three families that stuck around to talk to the wrestlers or something were there, and only people who already knew the deal. I didn't disrespect the business by saying, oh, stick around, I'm going to show you how easy this is. Ronda Rousey feels like that's what she's doing. She feels like she's just saying, look, you know I can't wrestle. I know I can't wrestle, but I'm pretending to be a wrestler, and because I'm Ronda Rousey, they got to let me win.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. I remember after the shows we did, and you waited like two or three families are left in the building. Not to don't want to disrespect the other wrestlers of that. You just wait till everybody leaves to show them how to do that move.
Of course, you don't disrespect the business by saying, "Hey, I'm going to do this in front of an audience. I'm going to let a kid flip me." I'd have never done that in a million years. If there was a whole audience of people and they said, oh, can my kid get in the ring and flip you? I'd have been like, hell no. Of course you can't. Because then that makes everybody else who flips me look like a moron, doesn't it? But after it's all over and there's just one or two people there, it's fine. But Ronda Rousey's doing it in front of millions of people. She's exposing the business big time. Because anyone can look at that and say, she's just not good. Alicia Fox is going with everything she's doing to make her look good, but she's not good. And if she needs that kind of help to be average, it just makes the rest of the division look like dummies, Mike.
It really does. And really, if everything was even and this wasn't her first match or whatever, if everything was even, the last two matches would have been reversed on the card. Because, an over 10 minute, we knew what was going to happen there, but we got an over 10 minute tag team match that was a good match, even though we basically knew what the ending was when we saw her in the mask come out. We know what the ending was going to be. It was a good match, Whereas you look at Alicia Fox, we talk about how good an athlete, how good an athlete Naomi is, but Alicia's not that far behind Naomi. Now, Naomi may be a tick better, but Alicia's a pretty good athlete, and she's a pro wrestler. You know, you could put her, you could very easily put her against, you know, in a feud against, you know, if they decided to promote her a little bit more, use her a little bit more, in a feud against one of these other girls, and you would buy that because she's good enough that you would buy it, you know? She's got that.
Alicia has been around forever. Okay, she's been in the WWE for a very long time, and that's why she was trusted to go out and have that match with Ronda Rousey, because they knew, how much more of a veteran can we get than Alicia Fox? She's been here forever. And look at the hoops she had to jump through, the stalling tactics she had to do, the basic, how basic they had to keep a match. She couldn't, could she give Ronda Rousey a suplex? No. Did you see her give her that bridging suplex that she gave other people? No, because she can't take it. That's why she doesn't know how to do it. You're being bluffed. Well, you can throw punches or kicks at her. Just don't hit her. But don't give her a wrestling move, because I don't know if she's going to know how to take it. Well, that's great. Then why are you in the ring? This isn't UFC. I don't want to see a UFC fighter using UFC skills in a wrestling ring and saying, well, that's what we do. This is pro wrestling. If you went over to UFC, you're not going to be able to hit somebody with a steel chair or do a hurricanrana off the cage on them. So why in the world are we accepting this? Again, I don't hold it against Ronda Rousey. She's been given a bucket load of money. And she says she loves pro wrestling. And I believe her. But she's not good at it. And she's not busting her ass to be better at it. I don't care what she says. It's not possible. Because when you're an athlete, the quality of Ronda Rousey, and you claim to have been for a year, I've just told you that I can show a child in 5 minutes how to flip me correctly, and it's no big deal if Ronda Rousey does it. Where's her other moves? She throws punches. She gives you the arm bar. She does a judo flip. The punches anybody can do. The judo flip anybody can do. The armbar anybody can do. Okay, she does the suplex. Most of the time it's half-assed. Or that Samoan drop style suplex. Most of the time it don't look good. Most of the time it looks like it's dangerous and, you know, she's going to hurt somebody. I don't see her moves. If Ronda Rousey came out and suddenly she's doing a flying body press and drop kicks and head scissors and mixing it in with the takedowns and the arm bars and the chain wrestling, I'd say, whoa, I guess she did go to the performance center and I guess she is serious. I'm not seeing that. Name me any athlete, I don't care who it is, and I'm telling you that with a few weeks practice, you could have them walk through that match. Stephen Amell did it. Is he an MMA fighter? Is he a pro wrestler? No. So why are we expecting less from Ronda Rousey? Why is less better? Well, Stephen Amell's an actor, and, you know, Ronda's a legit badass. Okay, then she should be better than the actor. But she's not. And yet it's the main event of Raw. This is the end. I'm telling you, Raw is on its deathbed. It's on its deathbed because there's not a soul in there that has any credibility left in them at all. Braun Strowman is now a clown. He's not an indestructible monster. He's a clown. He's straight out of the Bugs Bunny cartoon. We're going to stay on the air for a minute or two after, folks. So if you want to listen after and you're in the chat room, you'll probably get closed out. He's a Bugs Bunny cartoon. That's what Braun Strowman is. Kevin Owens is a cartoon. Elias is a cartoon now. Bobby Lashley is a cartoon. We're just cartoons now. And it's not even cartoon superheroes. It's cartoon comedy. There's nobody we care about anymore. There's no one to care about anymore. Everybody we started to care about, you destroyed. And now nobody cares if Baron Corbin wins or loses. Nobody cares if Finn Balor wins or loses. Nobody cares about anybody other than maybe Seth Rollins. That's about it. I don't know what more to say. Some people are saying, well, with the strength of the Paul Heyman interview. Oh, and by the way, that we should have said Corey Graves' interview with Roman Reigns to get him on the show yet again and remind us all that this feud's been going on forever. Didn't do any favors. The Paul Heyman interview and the Seth Rollins match, it was not enough to save this. It's not enough to save this in any way, shape, or form. If you had isolated that and put that in with a really, really good show, we'd have probably been saying, well, the Seth Rollins match was a little disappointing and the Paul Heyman interview was eh. But because the show was so bad, you know what it's like? It's like going to a restaurant and everything sucks except the pudding. And the pudding is fair. But because the rest of the meal sucks so bad, you're like, this is pretty good pudding. Don't be bluffed. Don't be bluffed by the pretty good pudding. There was nothing good on the show last night. Nothing good. The Paul Heyman thing, which everybody says was good, was not good. It was overblown and fake because it went too far. A grown man who has managed I don't know how many people crying hysterically like a teenage girl who lost her boyfriend over Brock Lesnar is not, a week after it happened, is not credible. If they interviewed him 5 minutes after he was assaulted, I would have said, well, maybe. A week after and you're still... Please. And the Seth Rollins thing, well, what was it? We get it. Seth Rollins is pretty tough. He hung with two badass guys for a while and then couldn't. Okay, well, then that's okay. That's fair and that's logical and that's it. It's not great. It's just fair and logical. This is an F. It is a complete F. If I could give it a worse than an F, I would. We are seeing the worst Raws I have ever seen, and it is a lead up for SummerSlam. I cannot understand this. If they announce Bobby Roode versus Mojo in the pre-show for SummerSlam or anything else, I am going to tear my hair out. Because how the hell do you want us to care about that? And then we're going to have, of course, oh, it's going to be the, I'm sure, the Authors of Pain versus Titus Worldwide, because we all care about that, don't we? There's not one match on this entire SummerSlam card anybody is really looking forward to from the Raw end. Whereas the SmackDown end, there's several matches I'm looking forward to. It's not even close anymore. It's not even close. It's like it's two. They wanted it to be two completely different programs. Well, it is two completely different programs. One sucks, completely sucks. And one fluctuates between being fair and pretty good. What's your rating, Mike?
I got to go with you. I mean, I would have, you know, F plus because, look, the Bayley match, even though we know what was going to happen, was a good match. And, you know, the Seth Rollins deal was a good match. But other than that, F plus, you're damn right, you know. There's more of a shot that you give, it, no matter what it is, you're going to give them at least, SmackDown at least a C, if not maybe even a little bit better on Friday, then you're going to give the next Raw anything more than a D plus, you know. Next
we got a problem, and the problem is this. No one watches a TV show where they don't care about any of the characters. That's the problem. Let's say you tune into a cop drama, and you don't care about any of the cops. You don't care about any of the people that are the victims. You don't care about any of the people that are the criminals. You just don't care about them. Everybody's not likable, and you can't warm up to none of them. You can't relate to none of them. There's no compelling storylines at all that keep you watching it. You're not going to watch. You're not going to say, but I like cop drama, so I'm going to keep right on watching it, even though I don't like this one. You're going to say, look, I'm not watching anymore because there's nothing in it I like. You've managed to make Braun Strowman, the one guy you had that fans were really buying into, you've managed to make him a cartoon character. You've managed to get him involved in a feud that's basically a comedy angle. And you've destroyed any credibility he has as this monster who's a little bit on the edge and any second could go from being a fan favorite to tearing a kid's head off. You've destroyed that. Kevin Owens has went from, I'm a prize fighter who'll get in the ring with anybody, to I'm a coward who will let other people fight my battles and I don't even want to be a pro wrestler. If I'm told I have to fight somebody, I try to get out of it because I don't even want to be a pro wrestler. That's what he's become. Jinder Mahal has went from a man who says, look, I worked my way up. I scraped the bottom of the barrel here in the WWE, and now I'm the champion. And I'm representing all the people of my country, to I'm a guru. Peace and love and healing. Baron Corbin has went from, I can make your life miserable because I got Stephanie's ear, to, you can still kick my ass and nobody cares. Nobody's going to come to my defense. Stephanie's not going to come to my defense. I'm not going to try to book you in matches that you can't handle. I can't really do much. And every time I try to do something, Roman Reigns appears out of nowhere and punches me in the face or the gut, while Kurt Angle laughs about it. So there goes Baron Corbin. Dolph Ziggler has went from a guy that you say one-on-one he could take anybody in the world to, I need Drew McIntyre to fight my battles for me or I will lose to anyone. And Drew McIntyre has went from, you're damn right, if he unleashes me, nobody's going to stop me, to, if he didn't help me, I would have lost to Finn Balor and I certainly would have lost to Seth Rollins. Finn Balor has went from, if you mess with me too much, I'll come out with a demon, or, I may be small, but I'll outlast you, to all I do is come out, smile, and lose. Who's there to care for here? Seth Rollins. That's it. There's nobody else. I don't care about any of these people. Because you lead me up there where you say, I should care about Mojo. Okay, I get it. He's got a big chip on his shoulder now. He's got by some people, and he's moving up in the ranks, and he's going to probably do some damage here. Oh, no, he's ineffective. Never mind. Don't care about Mojo. Nothing to see here. Bobby Roode comes over, and you're like, oh, well, I should be, there's something going to be happening here. No, nothing. Jabron him out, nothing. Fans are going crazy over Elias when he first starts doing his gimmick, and make him lose every match. Or no, better yet, let's not have him wrestle at all. Let's just have him come out and sing songs, and once in a while a guy will get in the ring and beat him up, but no real matches. Why does he need a match? Pay-per-view? Elias? No, never mind. I don't know. Who are we supposed to care about? Mike, the simple fact is, I can't name more than one or two people on the roster I even really care to watch.
Right, and look, because of Ronda Rousey, you had something with Alexa Bliss, you know? I mean, we all said you had something with Alexa Bliss. You had something with a couple of other girls, too. But, again, because of Ronda Rousey, is becoming the fact that you don't even care that Alexa's the champion right now, you know?
Of course not. And to just have Alexa Bliss, every single time somebody confronts Alexa Bliss, she's being told, stand outside the ring and look worried and upset. I'm worried and upset. You beat Nia Jax. I don't want my heels looking worried and upset. I want my heels looking like, that's all right, you're going to get yours because I'm confident I can beat you. Worried and upset should be held for, you know, Sami Zayn if he pisses off Braun Strowman and you're like, okay, I'm a little worried. I could see that. It's reserved for The Undertaker where people say, oh, I heard the bell. That's not good news for me. But everyone? I feel like if Ronda Rousey was challenged, if Alexa Bliss was challenged by Lana, that Alexa Bliss would be told when she boots you out of the ring, stand there and look worried, like you're going to cry. That's all she does. You got to scrap the writers from Raw because it's terrible. You got to scrap them. You got to. I don't know how you're going to start from scratch because you've ruined so many of these characters. Lashley has been ruined because you've fluctuated between him being a circus clown, coming out in different outfits and goofy hats and saying, I love my sisters, and singing Rockin' Robin with the wrong lyrics to, no, I'm a badass. Well, which is it? Is he a comedic guy or is he a badass? And then let me tell you something that I really, really, really want to talk about, because this left a horrible taste in my mouth. The WWE showed a clip of Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, and it was very nice. There was a man in attendance who was obviously mentally handicapped, and they took a minute out of their time to do the Shield fist bump thing with him, which was very nice of them. There's a lot of live shows where there's some interaction like that with fans, especially if the fan is disabled or mentally handicapped or you know, something's up. Sometimes wrestlers will, you know, take a picture or give them a little present or something like that. It's not shown on WWE TV. Not because they don't appreciate it, but because, oh, you know, we don't have time for this. They made time for that. And they made time for it because they wanted to say, look, look how nice Roman is. See what Roman's doing? Isn't he a nice guy? See that guy? He's handicapped. See him? He's a little mental. And look what they're doing. Roman's posing for a picture with him. Isn't he a nice guy? Don't you want to cheer him? Why don't you just have him run into a building and save a puppy? Maybe that's the next thing you need to do. Is you need to say the WWE office is on fire and Kurt Angle's puppy is in there, and Roman Reigns can pop out of nowhere and say, I'll save the day, and go in and grab the puppy. And the puppy can come out, you know, with smoke coming off his nostrils, but he's fine. I was a little bit taken aback by that. Please don't use people's real handicaps to push wrestlers. You're either going to cheer for him or you're not. If you're a dumbass and you're still, you know, you're still back 6 months ago with your Roman Reigns sucks, then fine, Roman Reigns sucks. Then don't watch him. Or boo him or whatever you want to do, I don't care. But you're not going to convince those fans to cheer for Roman Reigns. Because I don't think any of them, if you talk to any Roman Reigns haters, I don't think any of them are going to say, I think he's a mean guy outside the ring, and I think he's an asshole outside the ring, and I think you know, thinks he's a hot shit outside the ring, and I don't like him. I don't know. I haven't bumped into any of those people. Nobody who boos Roman Reigns that I know says I just don't like him personally. Most of them say he seems like a nice guy. I just don't think he's entertaining. I don't think he's good on the mic. I don't like that he's always pushed to win. I don't think he's the guy that should be the head of this, you know, brand. And I'm a little tired of seeing him. Nobody said he's like with me with Ronda Rousey. I don't like Ronda Rousey as a performer in the WWE. I think she's a very nice woman from everything I've read about her. And I'd love to watch her in MMA. She's not a wrestler, in my opinion. I don't like watching her in a wrestling ring. It's not entertaining. So if that's the way you think about Roman Reigns, fine. But if you're then going to say, look, here's Ronda Rousey with her arm around this handicapped person, I'm going to say so. I never said she wasn't a nice person. I said I don't like her in the ring. So how does one have to do with the other, Mike?
It really doesn't. And look, I was starting to care about Alicia Fox, especially the whole, we talked about her whole gimmick, the whole crazy girl, you know, that gimmick they had. I was starting to care about her. I mean, you're telling me you couldn't have found somebody other than Alicia Fox to do this with? I mean, yeah, she's been around a while, and yeah, she's safe, but you couldn't have maybe, I don't know, brought back Lita or somebody other than Alicia Fox.
Well, they're not going to bring back a superstar and have her drop to just to drop to Ronda Rousey. Lita's not coming back to drop to Ronda Rousey or Trish Stratus. None of them are going to do it. Could they have found somebody else other than Alicia Fox? Yeah. I mean, they got a lot of girls on their roster. They could have had anybody do it. They could have had one of the girls from the Riot Squad do it if they wanted to. It's very simple. Alicia Fox is expendable. They think nothing of her. She's been there forever, and they still think nothing of her. The only thing they do think of her is you're professional enough to make Ronda look good because you are a veteran. So you have what it takes to make her look good. God forbid anybody makes you look good. That's not going to be happening. But you have what it takes to make her look good, so in that form, you are going to go out there and you do your job. That's all they think of her. She's going nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. And been around forever. It's a shame. Raw's gotten to the point, folks, where it's unwatchable. I watch it now. I try to keep an open mind. I try to look for that glimmer of hope. But I'm not going to lie to you. If I did not have this radio show, it's very unlikely that I would watch Raw on a regular basis. Very unlikely. I might scan through the matches and say, oh, well, this one I'm interested in. Let me see what they did, or this one I did. But I'm going to fast forward through these. I don't care if Rezar beats Titus. I don't care. I don't care who wins the B team versus the Revival because it's irrelevant. There's too much on Raw that's irrelevant. It goes nowhere. It doesn't mean anything to the greater scheme. It doesn't add anything. It's just filler, 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 filler. If it were not for this radio show, I would watch SmackDown. But I don't think I'd watch Raw, at least not completely. Not at this stage, because it's gotten to the point now, Todd, where it. I feel like it's out of the 3 hours, maybe I'm getting 15 minutes worth of entertainment.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. I'm going to give my rating on this too. I'm going to give it an F as well. And like you said, it's failing on me.
It's failing fast. It's failing fast. It's not even fun to watch anymore. Who tunes in and says, oh man, I can't wait. Tonight Titus is going to fight Rezar. Oh man, the B team is going up against the Revival. I'll tell you a story. When I was a kid, a friend and myself were spending a Saturday, I believe it was a Saturday, together. And we'd walked a couple of miles to a shopping center, hitting the arcade and all that kind of stuff. And we realized, wait a minute, we're missing wrestling, and there was a tag team match we wanted to see. And we ran, full speed ran, back to his house because God forbid we miss it. God forbid we miss it. And all the way back, we're cursing ourselves. How could we do this? How could we do that? We're so freaking stupid. We're going to miss it. Then fast forward to a little bit later on, when even though I could DVR it, I was attending a baseball game, and the bus that took us and a bunch of other fans there broke down. And it was a day game, and I thought for sure I'll be back to see Monday Night Raw, because Mick Foley, actually it was going to be Mankind, was going to fight The Undertaker. And I was so pissed off that I might miss it, that I highly considered taking a taxi, which would have been probably a $125 taxi fare. And it was on DVR, but I wanted to see it live. Do you think, in your wildest imagination, there's anything that has been on Raw in the past 6 months that I actually care if I even miss completely? Gone are those days. There is nothing compelling happening on Raw. Nothing compelling at all. It is a story of mediocrity where every character is subpar, average, 50-50, not involved in a great storyline, recently lost, has a win or two but ain't going anywhere, no major antagonists, no major protagonists, just a whole bunch of guys. Week by week, I lost this week, I won this week, I lost this week, I won this week. That's what it's become. Mike, that's not good enough by anybody's standards.
Right. You know, I give you something here. At our house, my dad only recently, within the last 15 or so years, decided to get cable. Before that, even during the Monday Night Wars, I had to go to a friend's house to watch either Raw or SmackDown or both, because we'd flip them back and forth. And I had to make sure I was out there waiting for that friend to come home from baseball practice or football practice or whatever that he was doing that Monday night or that Thursday night, whatever, or that Wednesday night or whatever. Whenever Raw, SmackDown, Nitro, Thunder were on, I had to make sure that I was there waiting for him because I wanted to see it. I want to see what Stone Cold Steve Austin do. I want to see who the latest guy that Goldberg was going to run through on his historic streak at the time. You know, I wanted to see those things. And really, there's nothing at this point. If this wasn't the summer, and I know that some of my superhero shows are coming and stuff, are going to go back to back on Mondays starting in October, there's a good chance that I'm not going to watch 2 hours of Raw because I can go back and get it through other means and see what I missed or whatever. And
right.
I don't care, you know?
And that's sad because it's gotten to the point where a lot of fans are watching out of habit. Well, I'm a wrestling fan. I have to watch wrestling. It's like, you know, Dawn of the Dead zombies heading for the mall because, well, they remember that's where they all gathered. Well, you know what? We're not Dawn of the Dead zombies. And wrestling fans are starting to say, I'll watch wrestling, but I don't necessarily need to watch that. There are other options. I'm telling you, folks, the WWE and specifically Raw needs to wake up. I can't tell you the last time that the old Mick Foley, the hair on your arm stands up test worked for me anywhere. Anywhere. And it used to happen all the time. It used to happen once or twice an episode. The closest I can think of was when Sasha Banks made that impassioned speech to Bayley. I said, that was actually pretty good. And if something bad happens now, maybe I do care about it. Like, if she betrays her now, that's fucked up. After saying that to her, that's seriously fucked up. And if Bayley betrays her, then that's even more fucked up. Because then she made her drag out her emotions just to say, yeah, and I don't care. So in both aspects, I had that little moment where I said, one of these two girls is going to come off looking like a total bitch now. Nope. Nope, didn't do it. Nope, we're friends again. So that moment was okay, but it didn't lead to anything. Raw doesn't lead to anything ever. It just doesn't. It's always okay, well, let's see. We're going to have this tag team fight this tag team at the pay-per-view. So every week until the pay-per-view, one member fights the other member, and then that member fights the opposite member, and then that second member fights the first member, and then that's on and on. It's like cookie cutter booking. We have a formula. We do not stray from it ever. And after a while, you figure out the formula. It's like Pac-Man. Remember Pac-Man? Well, once you figured out the pattern, what the hell's good at playing it? Well, we figured out the pattern, WWE. It's the same goddamn pattern all the time. So what's the good of watching it? Kurt Angle will come out, will say something. Somebody will charge out, get pissed about what he said. Somebody else will charge out, and Kurt Angle say, I got an idea. How about you two guys fight? Because, of course, we've all showed up at this building with no matches booked. So if we don't have any interaction right at the beginning of the show, I guess we're just going to stand in the ring and say, thanks for coming, folks, but we really don't have any matches booked. Then Elias will come out and say, hello, I'm Elias. He will play the guitar. Fans will cheer. He will then say something horrible about their hometown. They will boo. And someone will come out and make Elias look like a complete idiot who cannot wrestle and is a coward. Roman Reigns will do something that looks heroic. Seth Rollins will do something that looks heroic. A tag team match will happen. Some of the girls will fight. They'll say Ronda Rousey's name 375 times in a 3-hour show. Corey Graves will raise his eyebrow and put his hands in a prayer motion. And then the show will go off the air. That's it. I've just told you every Raw, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the hair on your thing. I mean, you talked about the Sasha thing, but the last thing that I remember doing that for me on Raw was the whole John Cena, Bray Wyatt deal with the kids and he's got the whole world in his hands. And I mean, that did it for me. I mean, that's been what, 4 years ago, maybe?
Yep. And that's on Raw. Now, on SmackDown or other shows, it's happened. When Daniel Bryan and The Miz went off on Talking Smack, that worked. That did it for me. Because as much as I'm saying, I know this is a work. I know it. I'm still in the back of my mind saying, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, so that did it. But Raw's just not doing it anymore. It's just not, folks. Hopefully, you know, it gets better. And hopefully I can get on this show and say some positive things. I don't enjoy coming on here and just critiquing and criticizing and running down everything they do. But the bottom line of the situation is I'm supposed to tell you the truth. And if I get on this show and say, Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin had a wonderful match that went through 3 commercial breaks and proved that both people can really go, and it furthered the Finn Balor angle because he was involved. What a spectacular way to set up Baron Corbin and Finn Balor. I'd be lying to you. They had a decent match. They gave him plenty of time. It did not help the Finn Balor match at all because we already seen the main antagonist of the story get what's coming to him by someone else. So now do we really want to see the main antagonist of the story get what's coming to him by Finn? Is Baron Corbin got that much heat that it's just like, I'll pay anything to see him getting beaten time and time and time and time and time again? No, he doesn't have that kind of heat. Once he's defeated, you're like, okay, whatever. Corbin's irrelevant. That's what I'm talking about. Is anybody really looking forward to Ronda Rousey and Alexa Bliss? Because I think it's going to be a goddamn disaster. I don't see Rousey being able to sell anything, Alexa Bliss being able to do any of her moves on her much. I don't think Rousey's becoming the champion. I'll be shocked. I will be apoplectic if she becomes the champion. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. But I don't think it's going to be a good match. And based on what you guys all saw last night, with a veteran in Alicia Fox, I'm pretty sure that you probably agree with me. And I'm pretty sure that you agree with me when I say if we're ever going to have a 3-way dance for the belts, probably SummerSlam would have been the place to do that. So let's see what's going to happen. Do you really honestly think in your heart of hearts that the leaders of worlds are going to win that match and become the tag team champions again? No. This is going to lead to something else. Maybe we'll still have a 3-way dance at SummerSlam. And they'll have some, well, this didn't come to a conclusion, but then we've already seen it. Everything we've already seen, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar seen it. Seth Rollins against Dolph Ziggler, seen it. Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin, seen it. We haven't seen Ronda Rousey and Alexa Bliss. That's all they've basically held back. Everything else we've seen. Plenty. Plenty. Anyway, hopefully tonight they will rehab themselves a little bit and we'll have a decent SmackDown. We'll be back here on Friday to talk about it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChatRadio.com.